So the epistle for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is taken from Romans chapter 12. Brethren, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he that teacheth in doctrine, he that exhorteth in exhorting, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with carefulness, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good, loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another, in carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, being of one mind, one towards another, not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 2. At that time there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited and his disciples to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith to her, woman, what is that to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the waiters, whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures apiece. Jesus saith to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus saith to them, draw out now and carry to the chief steward of the feast. And they carried it, and when the chief steward had tasted the water made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward called the bridegroom, and saith to him, every man at first set it forth good wine, and when men have well drank, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Please be seated. Hate what is evil, love what is good. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We remember that the Epiphany means the manifestation of the divinity of our Lord. And so these Sundays after the Epiphany, they illustrate different examples of our Lord's divinity, the power that he has as God. So today's Gospel, we have the famous accounts of his first miracle that he was to do, at the beseeching of the Blessed Virgin Mary, turning this water into wine at the wedding feast. But from that, and obviously also, we see in this Mass today, the references to our Lord obviously coming into this world, again referencing the fact of the Christ child coming into this world. The gradual brings that out for us to contemplate and to meditate upon, as we are still in the Christmas season itself. It talks about the Lord sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Well, sent his word, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, this Christ child coming into this world. And so it's something for us, as I say, to meditate and to think about, of how our Lord came into this world to heal us, but then also to deliver us from destruction, destruction of our soul. And so that's why I quoted for you, hate what is evil, love what is good. Simple words to us. Simple words and something that we would say is fairly easy to follow, we would think. Things that are evil, yes. They should be things that in a sense, yes, we hate. Because they are evil, they are deprived of the due good that is in them. But then also to love what is good. And so this is what we find in the epistle, this reference to that. As I say, it's very easy for us to look at the words and say, yes, we trust that, we believe that, we try to follow that. But it's interesting to see in the epistle that the verses before what is quoted for us in today's Mass, There is the exhortation, too, a sacrifice of oneself. A sacrifice of oneself, of trying to fulfill God's will. And we can always reference and go back to the fact of what is God's will. God's will is for us to save our soul. You know, St. Paul has mentioned that the will of God is the sanctification of our soul, is for us to be holy, to sanctify ourselves, to get to heaven. And so therefore, when we have these exhortations, when we have this reminder by the writers of the epistles, the gospels, always the words of our Lord, we can see very clearly what we must do. But then the following through and the application of that is obviously where all of us can slip up at times. And so as I say, these words are very simple. But they also must be something that we live by. Realizing what are the dangers to our soul, and that is something that I had referenced last Sunday. Just the fact of these dangers to our families, and the great need for us to try to root these things out, to take them away from our families, because of the dangers that they present to that. And we can say the dangers that they present to what is the will of God for our soul. And so going back and understanding and seeing this idea of hating what is evil. There are many things that we see out in the world, but yes, because they are so contrary to Almighty God, His law. You know, one, these sins crying to heaven for vengeance. It's easy for us then to, in a sense, to hate those things, to despise those things, because they are contrary to the law of God or to the will of God. But then for us to also to contemplate and to think about our own soul. Again and again, it's good for us to think about these things. The state of our soul, the things that we're too attached to, things that very clearly also can be things that we should hate because of the evil that they are or the evil that they bring to our soul. The separation of our soul. The separation of our soul from God. But how often, because maybe the pleasure that they give to us, the fleeting pleasure, that we're so attached to these things, that it is so hard for us to give them up. And so that is what the exhortation about self-sacrifice. And as I say, it's the verse is before what is quoted for us in the epistle. But you can see where, obviously, the epistle follows a theme, follows a thread. And so for us to understand what he is saying about hate what is evil, love what is good, it must come with the idea and the sense of self-sacrifice. Of sacrificing maybe of the things that we would want, we desire, because of the danger that they are to our soul, what they can do to our soul. And that is why we must try to flee from these type things. Because we must see them as an enemy, as I mentioned last Sunday. We must see them as an enemy to our soul. Because that is why then our Lord came to free us from destruction. Destruction of our own soul. Because as I say, if we think and understand why the Christ child came into this world, it was one to do the will of his Father. And the will of his Father was to redeem mankind, to save us. I mean, that is what we over and over again heard in the liturgy during Advent. You know, come, save us. Come quickly. And so that constant reminder to us of that fact, that we understand why our Lord came into this world. We desire for the Christ child to have come into this world. But then for us not only to understand that, but then, yes, to put it into practice. And that is where the real test for all of us are. That is where the test stands for us. We know what to do. Do we do it? We know what God is asking from us. And then when do we put that into practice? And so that is the test that we have in this life. And that is why then we can see very clearly why the church is referencing these things as it brings out for us to meditate and to contemplate about the divinity of our Lord. Because he is God. Because he is God, he brought all of these things to us. He gave us this chance to save us from the destruction that we would follow. The destruction of what Adam and Eve, because of their pride, because of their disobedience to the command of God, of what they had established for us. That was a path that all of us would then be taking until our Lord came. Until this Christ child came into this world and gave us that example and freed us from the destruction that we are going to enter into. And so that is what we had anticipated throughout the time period of Advent to then we have the coming of the Christ child into this world, the light being brought into the darkness. And now in these time periods after the Epiphany, which was the manifestation of the divinity, now we have, and if you look at the different Sundays, this is the last Sunday that we have of Epiphany. If you haven't checked your calendar, we have the kind of the pre-Lenten time period coming up next Sunday already. So we already go back to purple vestments next Sunday. So it's a short time period that we only have these two Sundays after the Epiphany. I mean, last Sunday because of the Feast of the Holy Family. But it is these references to this understanding of the manifestation of the divinity of our Lord and why we must believe that he is God. And so through these illustrations of the miracles he performed, of what he had done, it is meant to help us then to follow him. And as I say, we can follow in word. We understand that. But following in practice is where the difficulty comes. Because of our weakness, because of our tendencies, whatever. And so that's why I had mentioned and said last Sunday, protecting ourselves from the dangers. Of realizing what are the dangers to our soul or our family souls and getting rid of them. Because that is truly what the destruction is, what the reference in today's Mass is referring to. That is the destruction that all our souls were heading toward until our Lord came, gave us the chance for grace again, and then with that chance for grace, to live a holy life. But if we truly don't hate what is evil, we will find ourselves wrapped up into that. If we truly don't see the things that are a danger to our soul as evil, and therefore, yes, we would have a hate for them because of what they would do to our soul. Well, good is it? Well, good is it that the Christ child came into the world if we're not even going to reference that for our own lives? If we're not going to follow that. And so that is why then, to lead a virtuous life is an absolute necessity for us. So that's why in the principles of moral theology, it's not enough just to try to avoid sin. We must also try to live a virtuous life. To see the example that our Lord gives to us and to follow that. To see how the Christ child came into this world to save us from destruction, give us this example, and then to try to follow him. Accepting the graces that he gave to us. Bringing those graces into our soul. And so these are the things that the church gives us to meditate upon. And it talks also in the epistle about true charity, that the charity is the bond of perfection. I mean, charity means the love of God above all things. I mean, that is first and foremost what the virtue of charity means, loving God above all things. So if you're going to love God above all things, you have to rid yourself of the things that are against God, things that are contrary to Almighty God. You must rid yourself of those things. And then, yes, the love of our neighbor for the love of God. Again, it references back to Almighty God. So charity is not just being nice to people. I mean, charity truly is the love of God. It is a virtue. It's a theological virtue. And so therefore we know that it references God first and foremost. And so when in the epistle we see it reminding us of the bond of perfection is charity, it is telling us that we must strive for the love of God above all things. It is showing to us that this is the path that God gives to us. And now through that we form, yes, one body in Christ. Different gifts are given according to the graces that are given to us. And so, yes, all of us will receive different graces, different gifts, but to always to try to utilize them for the glory of God. And that is the beauty of the mystical body of Christ, that we all benefit from that. And so these are the things that we must meditate upon. These are the things that we must think about, to consider. But as I say, this simple quote that we take from the epistle, hate what is evil, love what is good. If that was only the model that we live by every day of our life, if that was something that we always kept in mind, I mean, how much more pleasing to Almighty God we would be. But as I say, how easy it is for us just to be confused with that. Yes, in word we can always see these things, but then in practice in our own souls, do we actually see it? Do we see it and do we practice it? So that's what we say, actions speak louder than words. We can say we love God above all things, but then if our daily lives don't illustrate that, prove that, they're empty words to God. So that is why the necessity of striving for this practice of the love of God and how we must try to follow that throughout our lives. And we'll do ourselves a favor when, yes, we rid ourselves of the dangers to our soul. All the more so will we help our soul by doing that. So that's why, yes, it's a necessity for us. It's a necessity for us to understand that. So let us take this time period now, yes, to contemplate and to think about the divinity of our Lord. Where all of a sudden, yes, next Sunday we will be preparing ourselves for now Lent. How quickly the time has gone. But you see how the church tries to prepare her children just for that fact. Lent is coming, and so there is a preparation even for the preparation for Easter. So how quickly the time has gone for us. And so let us take this opportunity to contemplate and to think about why our Lord came. And the proof of him being God, yes, is apparent to us. But then also to understand that we must try to practice what we believe. Because that is the real metal of whether we're going to be pleasing to God or not. So I'll leave you with the words of the post-communion. May the working of thy power, we beseech thee, O Lord, be increased in us, that quickened by the divine sacraments, we may be prepared by thy grace to obtain what they promise. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.